Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network with your host, Tom Metzger.
Oh, yes, that's what it is here in the bunker right here in north central Indiana on a hot day. A global warming day with lots of humidity. But I'm down here in the cool, cool bowels of the earth in the bunker here. Yeah, it is the 7th month and it is the 21st day of July. That's it. You got it, boy. Spit it out. Well, one thing I can't stand is that crap like last night on the Republican convention. I could only watch a little bit at a time. And I think it's funnier than hell that our Canadian Cuban boy gave him hell. Yeah, now that all those conservatives that loved him, they loved him muchly. And when he said that, when he didn't exactly genuflect to Donald Trump, they all got pissed off and almost beat him up, run him out of the place. They had to take his wife out by armed guard. That just shows you how these people can change on you, change affections and all that kind of stuff. You can't trust any of them. Yeah, remember, boy, I'll tell you what, they called each other, Cruz called Trump names, and Trump called Cruz bad stuff, really bad shit, I mean, you know, and it's no wonder they didn't want to take each other behind the woodshed. So I don't blame either one, really, but I don't think either one of them have the balls to take one another out there in the alley and get it figured out. But I can see why Cruz did what he did. I mean, because of the names and all the animosity that Trump directed at him. You call my wife or my lady something bad or my father, mother, you're going to get it. So anyhow. And I really wasn't on his side at all. I'm not any of these people's side because they're not like me. And I'm not like them. And they're not conservatives. They're not conservatives. And the biggest joke in the world is they've appointed Pence, governor of Indiana, as the vice presidential candidate. And he's no more a real conservative than the man in the moon. He's all for these foreign trade deals. He was all for jumping into war in Iraq, a whole lot of shit that he's into. He's just another one of these Republican big shot guys that supposedly they were trying to get away from. I'll tell you, you can't keep up with these people. You just can't keep up with them. But to call them conservatives, these people, none of them are conservatives compared to what conservatives used to be. Wasn't conservative, doesn't that have something to do with your culture and your race? Well, all of them now today can't get at it fast enough to mix the races, and we love everybody, and they even go farther and say black and white and brown and purple and red, even to try to cover every base. So calling a conservative, when I was a conservative back in the old days, in the 60s and 70s, the people were nothing like these people are today that call themselves conservatives. These people are mostly neo-Marxists as far as social positions are, and the culture and the race. Yeah, they're Marxist socialists. They borrowed it from the Russians. The Russians got rid of it, and they bought into it over here. Most of them are not much better than progressives. In fact, they're more hypocritical. At least the progressives are out there saying, you know, a little more honest about it. But these conservatives are, oh, we love the Negroes. They're wonderful. And talk about race. We're not going to talk about race. We're not going to do anything about race because we're all together now. We're all functioning together and it's just one big happy family. Right? Well, it's not right with me, I'll tell you that. But sometimes I think I'm one of the very few people around that understands that. I think I told you about a good movie I saw. It was a series, The Passing of the Bells. It was about these young kids on both sides, the German and the English side, that went off to war in World War I, and the brutality and horribleness of the First World War on both sides. It's a great film. People should show their kids that before they volunteer to go off to kill those Arabs and stuff like that. I think it was on, I forget what it was on. It wasn't on Netflix. It was on the other one. They should show that film in all the schools about once a week. They need to, because these kids start off with this highbrow position on war, thinking of it as a game, and our side's going to win, and we're going to win real quick, right? But it's never like that. The war is long, and the war is deadly, and we're just fighting to be fighting, really, once the big shots start them up. That's why I can't get along with the Republicrats and the so-called conservatives, because they glorify war. They sure do, all the time, glorifying war. What a wonderful thing. Even running for office, saying, oh, I'm proud that my son's in the Marine Corps and all that bullshit. Just using their kids to further their own careers. There's the other type that send their kids off to be in the Peace Corps, which is nothing but a race mix corps, to send them into the pits of the third world to have them helping these retards try and repair and build up their civilization, which is impossible, teaching them how to dig a well. I mean, you know, like white men have been digging wells for thousands of years. I mean, these guys haven't even really figured it out yet, these blacks down in Africa. But they're going to. And also, they send their kids off as missionaries. And that's another thing that's ridiculous. The Mormons and all of them sending their kids off to these pest holes. And then they get diseases and everything else, or get killed by some revolutionary, and they cut their heads off. Well, Mother Nature says if you want to be stupid, stupid is and stupid does. And Mother Nature's laws will put you under real fast if you don't listen. I see how much the State Department and the media are trying to dredge up a war with Russia. They just can't leave this Russia thing alone. Even when Russia's not even doing anything to agitate, they're in there trying to get a war going, get hostilities going with Russia. And I'm telling you, if they keep fooling with Russia or China, they're going to wish that they hadn't, I'll tell you that, in years to come. They better try to be as peaceful as they can. But I don't think there's anybody in Washington that really believes much in peace. Even the progressives are dropping bombs on people, droning people. So if the progressives that are supposed to be for peace and love aren't doing, if they're killing people like tremendous amount, what are you going to do? They got this asshole Bolton. He used to be a representative to the UN. He comes on Breitbart all the time. He's nothing but a war-mongering son of a bitch. all he can think about is either bombing Iran or bombing Russia or bombing somebody. Like McCain down there in Arizona. I understand they got some woman down there that's giving him a run for his money. I forget her name. But who knows? They no longer get into office, and they're just like the rest of them.
To the Corbett Report.
All right, friends, you've probably all seen the Nice snuff film more than enough times in the last 24 hours for it to have had its intended effect on you, namely to bypass your critical thinking faculties and directly activate the fear conditioning center in your amygdala. Yes, the real terrorists are in government, and their researchers know exactly how to terrorize you most effectively. And their establishment mouthpiece corporate MSM dinosaur media lapdogs are only too happy to play along. So you've probably seen this by now, but in case you haven't, here is Nice in a nutshell. As you may remember, in the wake of the Paris false flag attacks last year, France suspended its constitution as President Hollande declared a state of emergency.
L'état d'urgence sera décrété, ce qui veut dire que certains lieux seront fermés. La circulation pourra être interdite.
Before the Nice attack, in a Bastille Day interview, Hollande promised to end that state of emergency.
Et je veux donc
the attack. Here he is with no choice but to extend the state of emergency. Their republic back. A man drives a truck through a crowd of people. The French people don't want the republic back quite yet. Problem, reaction, solution, and the government wins again. As Hollande said himself, extending the state of emergency means France is no longer a republic with the rule of law. But before the madness of the summer of rage takes over and everyone goes completely insane, think about this for 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Even if we are to swallow the official narrative here, lock, stock, and barrel, that this was all the work of some lone wolf French resident Islamist who hates France for its freedoms and all the other baloney we've been fed through this entire war of terror, even if we take all of that for gospel truth, it still boils down to this. The suspension of constitutional freedoms has nothing whatsoever to do with the man driving a rented truck through a crowd of people. The government cannot protect you from tractor trailers. They cannot protect you from people with knives or cars or baseball bats or random and unstoppable and unpredictable acts of violence. No amount of rounding people up and putting military on the streets and locking the country down is going to change that. You are going to die one day. It may happen peacefully in your sleep when you're 136 years old, or you may get run over by a truck tomorrow. There are no guarantees, but you can be assured of this. Any government official that comes along promising that they can keep you safe and sound and swaddle you in the protective martial law arms of the military from all the bad men in the world are selling you a pile of steaming bullcrap, and sadly, so many people are willing to swallow that crap up and ask for seconds. People always turn to the government to keep them safe from the boogeymen that the government creates. No, scratch that. Children always turn to the government to keep them safe from the boogeymen. It is time to stop being children. Government will not solve this problem. Martial law will not help. States of emergency are not the answer, and giving more powers to the government only incentivizes them to create more terror to keep you suckling on the government's teat. Stop suckling. Suckling. Those who have studied history know that nothing invigorates and empowers an authoritarian regime more than a spectacular act of violence. Some sudden and senseless loss of life that allows the autocrat to stand on the smoking rubble and identify himself as the hero. It's at moments like this that the public, still in shock from the horror of the tragedy that has just unfolded before them, can be led into the most ruthless despotism. Despotism that now bears the mantle of security. Acts of terror and violence never benefit the average man or woman. They only ever benefit those in positions of power. I couldn't have said it better myself. James Corbett, CorbettReport.com.
Before I forget it, I wanted to mention something on the Zika infestation. I heard that they found that chickens are immune to the Zika insect. Now, my question is this. Why would not putting chicken fat lightly on your skin not keep the Zika mosquito away? Anybody have an answer to that? If the insect stays off of it, the chickens, why wouldn't it stay off of you if they thought you were a chicken? And the scientists say it's only chickens. Only chickens. The other question I have is how a mosquito can bite through the heavy feather-laden chicken. Well, that Melania Trump plagiarized speech has still got traction. It's wasting a lot of time. Like, who cares? But interestingly enough, up pops Plastic Man again. In the aftermath, some blame the speechwriters, others blame Melania herself, and then there was the former KKK Grand Wizard David Duke, an avid Trump backer, who blamed the Jews. Writing on his personal website, Plastic Man laid out the devious Jew conspiracy in careful detail. Well, I'm not going to read this because it's ridiculous. Trump is surrounded by Jews. He's been in business with Jews. He's had Jews in the family. And if you think that, if Plastic Man thinks that somehow he's going to break loose or wants to break loose from the Jews, he's out of his ever fucking mind. Plastic Man needs to check himself into a mental institution. If he thinks it's a big shot billionaire in New York can get to be a billionaire without playing ball with the Jews and playing the balls right now, surely he's got some Jews that attack him. Trump does. But that doesn't mean anything. The Jews fight among themselves like mad. The speech that was made for Michelle Obama was written by a Jew, there's no doubt about that. So if it was plagiarized or copied, it was from a Jew. But it wasn't to cause her a problem. It was a good speech. It does show that these big shots in the limelight will pick up anything and read it. They just put it in their hands and they read it and everybody go, "Ah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful." Follow up down here by saying, we know the Jewish establishment of both the neocon right and the Democratic left despise Donald Trump. Well, I think you're going to get a big surprise when you start counting the votes. Jewish pollster Finkelstein, and he should know, says that Donald Trump is the most unpopular candidate for president among Jews since David Duke's race in 1992. They're experts at playing this game. And people like Duke, they get lost in the shuffle. They don't know which way they're going. Of course, that's the way it is when you think that everything in the world is caused by Jews. Everything that happens, everything bad, has got a Jew behind it. When you settle down on that kind of an operation, you're not acting very smart because things are more complicated than you think. I don't care whether they're Jews or not, if they're screwing the white race, which most of the white race, non-Jewish, are screwing the white race right now. Look at all those people at the convention. They're all hugging blacks and dancing around, and shit, it's a circle jerk. They don't give a shit about their race or culture. Let's have a little fun here with Jon Stewart, the Jew. I love comedy, and there's nobody can serve up comedy like these guys, and of course, Trump himself. He's a funny, funny man. And oh my God, let's listen to this. See, according to this story, John Stewart's been living in a cabin out in the woods for several months after he left his show on TV. And he's living all by himself, and he don't know that Trump's running for president. So let's listen to this.
Hold on. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Pokemon Gymnasium anymore. Go catch with your friends somewhere else.
John.
Garbages.
John. It's me. It's Steven.
Bobby!
Good to see ya.
I was just having a little chai kombucha. Come on in, we'll have some kale jerky. I'm making it myself.
No, John, listen. I know that you and your beard are very busy these days. But I'm here to tell you that it's the Republican National Convention this week.
Oh, wow. I think they had one of those 4 years ago.
They're doing another one. They're doing another one, John. Listen. You will not believe who the nominee is.
Listen, see, the old John Stewart talked about politics and things like that. Me, I don't. Jeb Bush will be a great nominee. Everything will be
John,
fine.
John, it's not Jeb.
What?
I'm going to tell you who the candidate is.
Well, before you tell me, though, I'm a little parched. If I may.
Oh, you want to take a little tea
just
in your mouth before
something
you?
In my, okay. Just to wet the whistle.
Okay, just, okay.
Before
and
you
then,
tell
then
me
I will tell
the
you
nominee.
Then I will tell
so
you.
Before you say the name, if you don't mind,
right.
I wouldn't mind bringing liquid into
because
my...
you presently don't know who it is.
I don't have any liquid in my
face.
Okay,
great. Ready?
So I'd just
here
like
we go. Ready?
If I may.
Yeah, sure. Okay. It's Donald Trump.
What?
Yep.
The guy from The Apprentice?
Yep.
The guy who did a McDonald's commercial with the grimace.
Same guy.
The guy who filed for bankruptcy in 1991.
And 92.
And 2004.
And 2009.
That guy.
Yes.
Mike Tyson's business advisor, that guy.
Indeed, same guy.
The guy whose eyes look like tiny versions of his mouth.
Yes, the guy who looks like an angry creamsicle.
Decomposing jack-o'-lantern.
Human toupee hybrid.
That guy.
Yes.
A guy who looks like he's actually wearing a Donald Trump costume. That guy.
Yes, a loose-fitting one at that.
Yes, that
the
guy.
Same guy.
That's the guy.
Yes.
The guy who wrote, and I quote, "Oftentimes, when I was sleeping with one of the top women in the world, I would say to myself, can you believe what I am getting?" That guy.
Yes, the same guy who said, and I quote, "I have black guys counting my money. I hate it. The only guys I want counting my money are short guys that wear yarmulkes all day."
That guy.
Yes, that guy.
By the way, we wear them all night, too.
All right. So you can see why I'm here. You understand what I'm asking for. All right. Oh, wait.
You gotta talk to him. I don't know what to say. That's the guy who wanted to talk about the Republican convention. That guy.
Hello, friend. I'm sorry I can't help you. See, John and I are very happy living off the grid, making jerky, and canning our own urine for the end times.
You said it was Gatorade.
You see, I'm sure that Jeb Bush will be a fine candidate.
But it's actually, funny, it's not Jeb, actually.
It's not Jeb?
No, I thought it was going to be Jeb, too, a few years ago, but it's not
Jeb?
It's a different guy.
Is who it? Is it?
You know what, here, just wet your whistle before you
okay, really?
Tell you who it
really?
Is. Yeah, it's just real quick. You want to know who it is?
Hold on, let me get a mouthful.
Sure,
right?
Let me get it. Yeah, I'll tell you. It's Donald Trump!
What?
Yes!
Hold Stop. This!
All right!
Get out of my way!
Call me if you're going to be late!
Well, that's funny as hell. And I like comedy. I love comedy. One thing it proves, too, you know, at least half of the Jews are clinically insane. But they make some pretty good comedians, I'll tell you that. A lot of the right-wingers, they assume that all the Jews are up to a conspiracy all the time. And in reality, they're just escaped from the insane asylum. You just can't let these crazy asses get to you, man. They'll drive you crazy. All of them. All of them. Republicans this week, Democrats next week. It's all insanity. It's all insanity. And if you buy into it, you're going to be insane, too. You know, all this media stuff and all this happy stuff, happy horse shit. It reminds me of my good friend Richard Cotton, who I met years and years ago, back in the 60s, Richard Cotton was one of the most famous pro-white and anti-communist broadcasters in the United States. He was 100%. He started out on a little radio station up in Bakersfield. And from almost the beginning, the ADL and everybody else was on his ass trying to shut him down. Luckily for years he had a radio owner that owned the station that wouldn't shut him down. I knew him for years, and then he went to Washington, D.C. and started up a group, an organization, and kept working. But he would really laugh his ass off at what's going on today. Richard was an extremely intelligent man. He looked like a Hollywood actor. Good-looking guy, man. But anyhow, that's the kind we need. We don't have any more like that. There's none like that because he talked about race all the time. He did it in a reasonably genteel fashion. He didn't scream out some of the stuff I scream out, but he was he had a large listening audience all over California, and then I think he got syndicated for a while too. But he would have his jollies listening to all this bullshit now and these phony conservatives. And I'll tell you who was his main attacker outside the ADL was the John Birch Society. The John Birch Society didn't want to talk about race. You know, race was not important. In fact, if you talked about race, you were a problem, an instigator, a neutralizer, he called them. And so any group or any individual that spent a lot of time on worrying about the white race became victims of the John Birch Society. And the John Birch Society is still around today, but nothing like it used to be. The John Birch Society was responsible for killing off hundreds of smaller organizations that were doing quite well all over the country. And I, of course, believe that that was his job. I was in the John Birch Society for 9 years. I know what the internal operation was. And I've told you before that quitting the John Birch Society when they told me what books I could read. Can't read any of these anti-Jewish books. Anybody reading those anti-Jewish books or anti-big business Jewish books in your group, you got to kick them out. And, of course, I resigned immediately when they told me that. Because, like I've told you before, I had all those books. I read all those books. And nobody should ever tell you what books to read. Tell them to go plumb straight to Hades. Richard Cotton ended up like so many of our good soldiers. He grew old and became impaired mentally and so forth, and died in sort of a sad situation. And that's what happens to most of our soldiers that get anything done. As I recall, even his own family did not support him. There's a whole list of people like that, including J.B. Stoner and a whole bunch of people that have given their life to the race and been thrown aside when they needed people the most. Well, let's see what we've got going here. 5 things President Obama needs to say about black crime but won't. How about that? President Obama held a nationally televised town hall last week to address heightened tensions and divisions in our society like we've never had it. It's just now begun due to recent shootings of black criminals by police and the recent shootings of police officers in Dallas. Just days after the event, 3 police officers in Baton Rouge were assassinated, further highlighting the high stakes for how the president handled this issue. I was invited to attend last week's town hall, that's the writer of this article, and asked the president a question, but ultimately could not make it. But I did watch it at home and would like to highlight some points President Obama did not make, which could have begun the process of healing and reconciliation. Well, that's not going to happen, sir, no matter how well-meaning you are. Indeed, Sunday's execution of 3 police officers in Baton Rouge shows that what can happen when the president creates an atmosphere of racial victimization and blames the police. So it is critical that Obama develops a new message that takes us in the right direction before things get worse and there's another incident. Well, it's too late. It's too late. It's not going to get worse. I mean, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. That's it. Number one, we must reduce the black crime rate. The black crime rate is significantly higher. It'd be even better to get rid of the whole goddamn race. The black crime rate is significantly higher than the other races. Now, this is written by a black man, I forgot to tell you. Yes, some would claim this is due to institutionalized racism or a lack of job opportunities. Nonsense. However, black crime was much lower in the past eras when discrimination against black people was much higher. And the economic position of the black people was much worse than today. So that can be no excuse. I mean, you know, they weren't killing each other in these numbers even back when the KKK's around. Or the KKK could just could stand by and say, go at it, baby. President Obama should have talked about how the overall crime rate for black people is 3 times higher than the national average. He should have noted how blacks commit homicide at the rate 8 times higher than whites do, according to the Department of Justice data. Of course, you know they lie. Even though blacks and Hispanics, or mestizos, not Hispanics, combined make up only 30% of the population, they make up more than 80% of all gang members in the United States. You should also have talked how even though black folks are only 13% of the population, well, this guy's not counting the mulattoes and people like Obama. They're not truly black. They're mulatto. It's a different race, new race. We commit about 62% of all robberies and 56% of all carjacking. Yeah. Obama should have then asked, is this really what Dr. King died for? Two, we must put the black family back together, which is not going to happen. Today, 72% of black kids are born to unwed mothers, and it's not going to stop. Not going to stop. So putting the family back together so black children are born into stable two-parent homes will go a long way to fixing many of the problems, which is not going to happen. So forget that. Three, we must fix the brokenness in black culture. Well, black culture has been broken since the dawn of man. And it's going to continue to be broken because they are not white people. They're not chocolate-covered white people. They're Negro people that are thousands of years behind in development and evolution. We must fix the brokenness, yeah. Data from the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health Data shows that the popularity of black kids decreases as their GPA increases, a trend not seen for white public school children. This means black kids pay a high social price for pursuing academic excellence. In other words, the average black don't want to run around with a black kid that's trying to learn something. Research from a psychologist, Angela Neal Barnett, shows that things are taking an advanced placement class, taking an honors class or GASP speaking standard English, were behaviors many black students saw as acting white and thus carried a social cost. Actually, this is good racism. As long as we can keep them doing that, which I don't think we have to do anything to make them do that, this will keep them more and more out of the job market and so forth. Researchers are still working out the reasons for this unfortunate phenomenon. Well, it's because they're black. It's like, of course, people in the black races can succeed and excel and all that kind of stuff. But in general, no. But I suspect it exists simply because many young black people are rarely challenged by teachers, parents, communities, and the media. That's because they give up. Teachers and people give up. That's because it is much easier to just blame racism. challenging black veneration of underachievement might be seen as racist. Well, I wish it was all racist. That's the problem. That's the white race's problem. Nothing we can do for the black race. But by reducing our racism, which is our protection, our evolutionary protection, we hurt our race. However, President Obama should have avoided the easy, cowardly approach by blaming racism and instead of forcefully illustrating the program. In fact, it's good. It's going to make things worse for blacks. If they're going to make things worse for blacks, then we should not interfere. We've got our own problems. We've got to worry about the white race, not the black race. If they can't cut the mustard, then they will fall under the axe of Mother Nature, proclaiming that achieving excellence does not have a race attached to it, and we will have zero tolerance for blacks who ridicule other black folks for pursuing distinction. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There is also a destructive thug culture among some strains of black community, a large percentage of them. Black journalist Cynthia Tucker Haynes beautifully states, somewhere along the way, a cadre of young Negro men and women began glorifying violence, misogyny, and thuggery, accepting incarceration as inevitable, resigning themselves to lives on the margins of mainstream society. Well, where did they get that from? Your friends, the Jews, and the movies, and television. That's where they got. That's where they really got going with that stuff. So, if all you black people think that the Jews are your friends, and the Jews that run Hollywood are your friends, well, sorry. They created a thug culture that has been commodified, celebrated in music, movies, sold to poor adolescents in wretched neighborhoods, as well as affluent teenagers in upscale communities. They did some of that with the whites back in the 20s and 30s. Remember our gang comedies? Not our gang comedies, but the Dead End Kids, all those movies that sort of glorified some dumb acting people that lived in the poor parts of the white culture. Yeah. Satch, remember Satch? Leo Gorsi, remember him? But they did, that's what got a lot of white people off the track, too. What more can be said? President Obama should have uttered these powerful words last night, then ended them with, quote, therefore we must abolish this thug culture that is destroying young black Americans. We will treat it the same as terrorism, pursue it, confront it, and destroy it. Yeah, right. When already? That's right, I just compared thug culture to terrorism. September 11, 2011, killed about 3,000 Americans, yet about 5,500 black men kill black men every year. That's almost two black 9/11s every year. So where's the war against thugs? Well, this guy's got his head straight on. Past 35 years, a mind-bending 323,820 black people have been killed by other black people in America. Gee, just think if they hadn't, we'd really be up to our neck. Do you know that one-third of Louisiana is black? One-third of the state is black, far exceeding the number of police officers killed during the same time frame. The data shows about 71 blacks are killed by other blacks for every one black person killed by a white police officer. It is clear, then, that the real problem is black people killing each other. Duh. Well, they don't care. You see, that's one thing these people don't care. This thug culture don't care when they're killing each other because that's just good, healthy gang activity. Yes, cases of police misconduct should be confronted and handled promptly when they occur. Well, they do it to white people, too. There's bad cops. There always have been bad cops. There's been cops that have been treating white people, especially white working class, terrible. and need to be taken care of. Absolutely. But the black deaths due to the police account for less than 2% of all black murders, so attacking the police must never be the main issue. President Obama just should thus have stated forcefully, quote, let us stop blaming the cops, for they are not the ones killing the niggers. Sadly, it's the nigger folks who are killing each other. Therefore, we must solve the national problem of black murder. Well, there you go. You heard it. Rhetoric that frames the police for the deep, systematic problems of the thug black race community puts police lives in danger by riling up hatred and resentment towards them. Of course it does. You despise them. And encourages this kind of cop killers we've seen in Dallas and Baton Rouge. This kind of rhetoric can't be tolerated. Well, the white cops are out there. They get so screwed up for trying to solve the problem in the black community, they just go crazy and lose their temper and shoot people. I don't understand why they haven't shot more blacks in the trying to police these neighborhoods. First, it's not true the police are the first line of defense in protecting black Americans from black criminals who overwhelmingly target black victims. Second, it takes focus away from the real issues and the source of the problem. Broken families, well, they're not even families. Thug culture, criminal bastards. Entitlement programs, yeah, give them stuff. And desensitizing family formation and a culture of low achievement. Well, they've got a lot of things working against them. They're behind the eight ball when they're born due to their mentality and abilities. And if they don't work at them 24 hours a day, they're going to remain thugs. President Obama should have thus forcefully declared, we will never allow police lives to be put into jeopardy by dangerous rhetoric that blames them for brokenness in minority communities, a brokenness that they did not cause and cannot fix. Yeah, the cops are just trying to keep order. Trying to keep order in a black neighborhood? That's an oxymoron. Thankfully for the president, I do not charge for this free post-mortem analysis, but for further consultation, we'll have to talk. Well, in the black community in the old days, it was black policemen. And either you obeyed or you got your head beaten in. I mean, if you want to read about real police brutality, it's black cops in the black neighborhoods. But they got the job done, even if they did have to overdo it now and then. Now they send these white cops, especially young cops, in there trying to be social workers in an insane asylum, which drives everybody crazy. The black thugs don't respect the white cops because they know they're afraid of them. The white cops are afraid of the blacks and things like that. That makes it worse and worse and worse. In a small town like I lived in here when I was a kid, every once in a while there'll be a tough cop, and believe me, you didn't get out of line with him around. It's always these goody two-shoes cops that get everybody in trouble. The more and more whites are talking about this, like this, about the blacks, it's because they've been allowed to worm their way into the middle class, blacks, and even wealthy, and now can play the game like they're white, but they're black. And they can look down on the thug blacks in the neighborhoods and make their judgment call from that. But for every black person that climbs up into the middle class or wealthy class, one white is kicked out on the street. Don't forget that. People don't seem to care whether that is the truth or not. But this black-on-black crime and thuggery that they've all of a sudden, the black middle class has discovered, along with the whites, is a little bit too late. In fact, it's a lot too late. I don't know that you read about this, but the former and first African-American Miss Alabama called the Dallas gunman, Micah X. Johnson, a martyr after he killed five police officers, tried to explain to Fox News host Sean Hannity last week that she was conflicted over the deaths of the police at the hands of Johnson. That's an interesting concept. I can't help but feeling like the shooter was a martyr, Kellyanne Chapman James said in a video posted 2 days after the attack. She also said that, "I don't feel sad for the officers that lost their lives," unquote, but added in the video that she did not want to feel that way. In her appearance on Hannity, the host went straight to the heart of the matter and said James must not value human life. Their families will never see their loved ones again. You said you don't feel bad for them, he said. However, James, who has since been suspended from a TV job because of her comments, said that when she put her emotions on display for the world to see, she was really conflicted and very sad, that I was finding it hard to go into my heart to be true to my values of valuing human life at the time because I had just witnessed atrocities against these men. What? Oh, brother. Well, Germany fears more lone wolf attacks after train rampage by the guy with an axe. Berlin, Germany is likely to face more Islamic attacks, its interior minister said on Wednesday, but played down any link between the government's so-called. Well, that means they want to spend more money and put more cops on the street and more soldiers and so forth and restrict more liberties, but it won't do a damn thing to stop so-called lone wolf attacks on anybody. There is no defense against that kind of stuff. And when you're running around, you know, they take these people out of the Middle East. They have a culture. They have a race. And they put them into European culture. They go crazy. Many of them just go nuts. That's it. You wonder why? They're pissed off because people don't accept them. Of course they don't accept them. They shouldn't accept them any more than I'd be accepted if I went down there and squatted in Syria someplace. I hear something typical from the Albuquerque Journal, watching potential lone wolves. Lone wolf is a term popularized in the 1990s by white supremacist Tom Metzger and Alex Curtis, who called on like-minded people to commit crimes. I surely don't remember calling on anybody to commit crimes, but I did explain what a lone wolf was. Alex Curtis was only around a little while. He was another one of the young guys that wouldn't take advice. He got in trouble once, and I pretty much got him out of that, and he got right back into trouble, and finally he went to jail and got out, and he was working with his father in some kind of construction company. He probably went back there and settled into being just a good little Republican. But anyhow, yes, I did popularize the term lone wolf. So there you go. I'll send you the article. But in the heart of the article, it doesn't say anything about Tom Metzger. So I think somebody's added this to it. Somebody at the Albuquerque Journal. Yeah. Need to find out who that was. Actually, what's amusing is that a lone wolf doesn't have to be violent at all. Lone wolf can be in any type of society or anything you want to do. You'd be an individual by yourself. You can be an individual anything. That's a lone wolf. Obviously, you could be violent, but you don't have to be violent. And almost none of the lone wolves I know are violent or have not gotten violent yet. If things get really bad and they get really mad, they might get violent. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. I'll be back tomorrow on What Is Tomorrow? This was Thor's Day. Tomorrow is Freya's Day. She-Wolf Day in the Border. How about that? What did I say? In the border? In the bunker. I'm getting delirious tremendous.
I'm going to make him an offer again with you.
I'm gonna make him an offer again with you.